Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Christian author and speaker, Troy Black. We're praying that, as you listen, God will reveal His love, grace, and truth to you in a deeper way. After listening, don't forget to connect with Troy on YouTube and Facebook. May this message from Troy inspire you in your walk with Christ.
Hey y'all, this is Troy Black. So today I want to give you the three signs that God is trying to get your attention. So sign number one is that He's speaking to you in your heart. And what I'm referring to when I talk about God speaking to you in your heart is it could be a pulling in a certain direction or an urging to do something, you know, that has been placed in your heart by God, or it could even be an utterance, which I would refer to as God's voice. Listen to what Jesus has to say about this. In John 10, 27, He says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." So I want to tell y'all a funny story, and it's about my mom and my younger sister, Lydia. So Lydia is actually in college now, but when she was a little girl, she would get scared sometimes at night, and she would go to my parents' room, you know, if she was scared, and she didn't want to wake my dad up, but she wanted to just be loud enough to wake up my mom. So she would sneak over to my mom's side of the bed, and this is how my mom describes it, you know, it's kind of hilarious, but my mom describes it as like waking up to this shadowy figure leaning over on top of her and saying, "Mom," you know, like, and obviously it'd be incredibly frightening to have that happen. And my wife and I have kind of experienced that a little bit with our kids every once in a while. And it can be really scary in the middle of the night, especially when you're just waking up. But the reason I'm telling this story, which my mom likes to tell and I love to laugh at, is because I think a lot of us have this misconception. We have this view of the Holy Spirit and this view of God's voice in our minds that's just not accurate. It's just not true. And a lot of us, I think we have this fear of the Holy Spirit. You know, maybe we like to talk about Him in church, or it's okay to read about the Holy Spirit in the Bible, but to actually try to have anything practically to do with the Holy Spirit is something we stay away from. But Jesus, listen to the words of Jesus again. He specifically says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them." They hear My voice. And I want to give you another verse. It's Acts 15, 28. It says, "For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these essentials." So this is an example of the Holy Spirit communicating with the early church, with the believers in the New Testament, which is something He does a lot if you go read the New Testament. But you might be asking that question, okay, so how does the Holy Spirit speak to us? Most of the time, here's the answer I want to give, and this is from 1 Kings 19, so go read the account if you want to on your own time. But 1 Kings 19 talks about the Holy Spirit and God's voice being a still, small voice. And I believe that's how the Holy Spirit communicates with us most of the time. And I also believe it's how He communicated with the New Testament believers a lot. Another example of this, which is a little more specific, is found in Acts 16, 6 through 7. And I'm going to read two location names here. The first one, I don't know how to pronounce, so I need a little grace right now. So here we go. It says, "They passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, I should have looked these up. They were trying to go into," there's another one, oh my gosh, Bithynia, I don't know. Okay, "and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them." So what's really cool about this verse is a couple things. First off is that the Holy Spirit, they were wanting to go a certain direction, right, with their walk, with their life, even with their week, whatever they were planning on doing next with their time. And yet the Holy Spirit Himself was telling them, no, don't go that direction, go this direction. He was giving them direction. That's one of the things the Holy Spirit does for us through His voice. But another really cool thing we can pull out of this verse is that it actually refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Jesus. So anytime we try to look at that verse in John 10, 27, where Jesus says, "My sheep hear My voice," and we say, well, that's not the same thing as the Holy Spirit, we also have to look at verses like this where the Holy Spirit is actually referred to as the Spirit of Jesus, and sometimes He's referred to as the Spirit of Christ. So if you love Jesus, if you want to get to know Jesus more, one of the ways we can do that is by learning how to hear clearly from the Holy Spirit. So the Bible actually describes God's voice in our hearts and in our lives as having several functions. And some of those functions are conviction, comfort, even direction. And that's something we just talked about with, you know, the New Testament believers receiving from God through his voice. But I want to share a time. I want to talk about a time when he actually used his voice for my protection, to protect me physically. So I was driving up from Bastrop, Texas, and I used to live there with my wife for a couple of years. It's in South Texas, and we live more in East Texas now. And so I was driving up this 5.5 hour drive from there to Longview, and I was actually with my younger brother, Reese. And I was riding with him in his Mustang, and I'm sitting in the passenger seat. And we're on this old country highway where we're kind of going pretty fast because the speed limit was a little higher than you would expect it to be. But we had this truck in front of us with this large trailer, and on the trailer was this Gator, which it's this like all-terrain, off-road utility vehicle. It's kind of the same size as a golf cart, maybe a little larger. But it's on the back of this trailer, and it's strapped on with these four different ropes. So there's these ropes on the tires holding this thing on. There's no back to the trailer. And I'm sitting there next to my brother Reese, and he's probably talking away because he loves to talk. I love him, but he does love to talk. And so I probably had to interrupt him at that moment. But what happened was I'm sitting there listening to him, and all of a sudden in my heart I hear very clearly. It's not an audible voice, but it's very clear in my spirit, and it's the voice of God, and he says, that thing's about to come off the trailer. And like very clear, and I'm like, wait, what? And so I turn to my brother and I say, Reese, we need to get away from this guy. We need to back away from this trailer. And Reese, I may have had to tell him twice, but probably a good 10 seconds later, we backed away, probably, 50 feet behind the trailer where we had just been tailing it right on top of it. And as soon as we get away from it, as soon as we've gotten about 50 feet back, like not a second later, those ropes snap at the same time and that thing comes off the back of the trailer at us. And it had a little momentum to it. So when it hit the road, it kept going, but we were already pretty far away from it. And so we were slowing down immediately when we saw it happen. And then it rolled off the road down a hill and actually slammed into a tree. And the people who owned it realized it about half a mile later and they turned around. But in that moment, I remember very clearly hearing from God. I had no clue as to what was about to happen. You know, there was no way I could perceive it on my own in my natural mind or even through my senses or anything. And yet God warned me about what was about to happen. And he used his voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking in my heart to warn me and to protect me. So if you've never had something like that happen to you, and you might be asking the question, well, how come God speaks to you and he doesn't speak to me, you know? There's a couple things I want to say. Number one, I had been at that time spending a lot of time seeking the Lord, listening to the Holy Spirit, reading the Word, and you know, asking God to show up in my life. And then number two, I want to give you a resource that you can use to learn to hear God's voice more clearly. And it's just an article that I've written. It's on my website. If you go to troyblackvideos.com, and it's called How to Hear God's Voice. So I hope you go check it out. So the second sign that God is trying to get your attention is that he's speaking to you through external circumstances, or you might also call them coincidences. You know, some people call it a coincidence. But sometimes, you know, it is a coincidence, but sometimes it's actually God using the circumstance to try to get your attention or to try to show you what to do. And a really good example of that is found, if you want to go take the time to read it for yourself, it's in Judges chapter 6, and it's the story of Gideon and the fleece. So I'm not going to take the time to go into that, but if you want to read about it yourself, go check out Judges chapter 6. But I also want to share with you another illustration of how God has used this particular sign in my life, this sign of external circumstances. So it was actually pretty recently, but several weeks ago, I had been working really hard. I've been working really hard at trying to get out my next book, which is all about overcoming worry. And I've been focusing on that this year a lot. I've also been obviously making videos out, and I also work part-time for another ministry to provide for my family. So I work really hard most of the time. And a few weeks ago, I was having I was starting to experience stress, and I was starting to kind of think, man, I need to take some time off. You know, sometimes I'm just not very good at taking time off when I should. And I remember thinking about that coming Friday, and I remember thinking, you know what? I could take Friday off. You know, I could take the day off. And so I started to actually pray about it. And so for a couple days, I'm praying and saying, God, should I take the day off? Should I? And I literally was using this phrase, should I take the day off? And I was talking about Friday. And then it was like Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday of that week. I get online, and I like to go listen to Pastor Robert Morris sometimes. He's got some really great series. And so I got on, and he had just posted a sermon the exact same week when I'm asking God the question, should I take the day off? And the sermon title was Take the Day Off. And it actually correlated with a book he had recently released called Take the Day Off. I haven't read the book, but it might be good. I don't know. I did watch the sermon, though, and it was really good. And God actually used that that sermon to answer my question that I had been praying about that week. And one thing I want to say about that is I did not just rely on the, you know, the coincidence or the external circumstance alone. I looked at that coincidence and I said, God, is this from you? Are you trying to tell me something? And God used his voice to confirm it in my heart. So there was an extra confirmation there. So I need to add a huge disclaimer here. You need to understand this. This, what I'm talking about, signs and external circumstances, this is not fortune telling. There's a huge difference. When you go to something like an eight ball or tarot cards or the horoscope or something like that, all of those things are based in the idea of we can get a sign through our will. You know, like if I just go to this thing, then I'll find a sign for my future. All of those things are actually what the Bible refers to as witchcraft, and they go directly against God's will. Any signs that God wants to give us in our lives are going to be by his will and not by our will. And a good example of this in scripture is King Saul in the Old Testament, who was king right before David was king. He actually went to a medium, which is someone who, it's like a spiritualist, someone who tries to communicate with the dead. And because God wasn't speaking to him, because he couldn't hear the voice of God in that moment, he was going to somebody else, and he was trying to make it happen on his own. And he ended up paying the price for that. So I want to read about this in 1 Chronicles 10, 13 through 14. It says, so Saul died for his trespass, which he committed against the Lord, because of the word of the Lord, which he did not keep, and also because he asked counsel of a medium, making inquiry of it, and did not inquire of the Lord. So here's a question that might be raised in your mind. How do I keep from turning signs into witchcraft? Here's a good answer. Seek after God, not after the signs. Don't go looking for signs. Go looking for your Creator. Go looking for your Savior. When you and I choose to seek after God with our whole hearts, then He is going to give us external signs if and when it's in His will. So I want to give you two things that we should value above external signs. The first one is faith. I think one of the reasons that so many Christians go after signs, we're always looking for a sign here or a sign there, is because we're not valuing the word that God has already spoken to us. We're not responding to what he's already said in his word and through his Holy Spirit. And because we're not having faith and responding to his word, then we're kind of, in a sense, you know, I don't want to try to heap guilt on you or anything like that, because, hey, I need grace as much as anyone. But we're kind of doing what Saul did, in a sense, where when we're not valuing what God has already said to us, and we feel like he's left us in this dry season where we can't hear from him clearly, and we start going after other things, what we need to start doing is we need to go back to what God has already said, and we need to prioritize his word, and we need to prioritize his voice. This is Troy Black. I pray the Lord is speaking to you through this podcast. We'll get back to the message in a second, but I want to take a minute to tell you about how you can support this ministry. I'm able to create videos, books, podcasts, and other materials because of faithful supporters who value my content and who want to help me share the gospel with as many people as possible. All I ask is that you would pray about becoming a part of the work we're doing. Learn more by going to troyblackvideos.com. I hope you're blessed as you continue listening. So the first thing we need to value above external signs is faith. The second thing we need to value above external signs is relationship. When we're walking in a real relationship with the Holy Spirit, then He's going to be confirming those things that we need confirmed in our life. You know, if He needs to use an external sign or a coincidence to get our attention, He can. But most of the time, I believe He's going to be speaking through His loving, gentle, still small voice in our hearts. So the third sign that God is trying to get your attention is that He's allowing your life to fall apart. And when everything seems to be coming down around you, I want to give you a few things that God is not doing. Here's what He's not doing. He's not being negligent. He's not being unfair. He's especially not being cruel. But when He's allowing your life to unwind, it may just be because He's trying to fix a much deeper issue. He may be trying to fix something that's far more important than the things that you see that are crumbling right now. An example of this is found in Isaiah 19:22. It says, "The Lord will strike Egypt, striking but healing. So they will return to the Lord, and He will respond to them and will heal them." So God actually allowed the Egyptians in this passage to go through hardship, a time of hardship, because of their need for Him. And the healing that this verse is talking about is it's a healing that's a lot deeper than just maybe a physical healing or the healing of their land or their crops or something like that. The healing He's talking about is actually spiritual healing. And I want to show you exactly what I mean by that in the previous two verses. So check it out. It says, "For they will cry to the Lord because of oppressors, and He will send them a savior and a champion, and He will deliver them. Thus the Lord will make Himself known to Egypt, and the Egyptians will know the Lord in that day. They will even worship with sacrifice and offering and will make a vow to the Lord and perform it." See, the Savior and the champion in this verse is Jesus Christ. This verse is actually prophesying about His coming, when He was going to come to the earth, live a perfect life, and then die on the cross so that He could accept the punishment for everyone else's sin upon Himself. This verse is talking about the greatest healing that any of us could ever receive. In the Old Testament, God would actually use punishment a lot of times to draw people back to Him. But that was under the Old Covenant. And under the New Covenant, most of the time, God actually uses His grace to draw us close to Him. You know, the Bible says that it's His loving kindness that leads us to repentance. So when our life is falling apart, you know, when everything seems to be crumbling around us, it's not necessarily because God is after you. But when you and I reject His ways, when we say, "God, you know, I'm going to do this my own way," we also reject His grace. And when we choose to reject His grace that was made available by what Jesus did for us on the cross, then in a sense, we're punishing ourselves. We are putting ourselves through hardship. Isaiah 53:4 is an amazing verse, and it says, "Surely our griefs He Himself bore," this is talking about Jesus, "and our sorrows He carried, yet we ourselves esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Because God loves us so much, and because Jesus has loved us so much, when He went to the cross, He didn't just carry our griefs and our sorrows upon His body. Even though He did do that, He also carried our sin upon His body. So this is the most important point that I want to make, and it is that, why would God allow your life to fall apart? It's because He is more concerned with your eternity than He is with your present. He's far more concerned with fixing the most critical issue in your life, because He knows that your eternity is going to last forever. What you're going through right now is temporary. But God is looking at the future, and He wants to know that you're going to spend eternity with Him. And this is the same way that a loving parent reacts to a child. You know, a child might want something right now that's going to hurt them, but the parent is always looking at the future. And the parent's always saying, "You know what? That's not good for you right now, because I can see down the line how it's going to hurt you. And really, I need you to go this way right now. I need you to walk through this right now, because it's going to make for a better future." And that's the same thing that God does for us. He's far more concerned with where we're going to be in eternity than with where we are right now. When I was a kid, we had this old metal swing set that got all rusted and broken, and it was sitting in our backyard. And so my dad decided it's time to tear that thing down. And so I wanted to help my dad tear this thing down. I was so excited. I remember asking my dad, can we go tear it down now? Can we go tear it down now? He kept saying, wait, don't go yet, don't go yet. And he actually specifically told me, do not go out there and start taking it apart without me being with you, without my help. And so I said, okay, Dad. And then as soon as he walked in the other room, I ran outside and I got some tools and I started unscrewing some bolts and some screws and I started taking that thing apart. I was so excited, I didn't listen at all. And what I couldn't see was that my dad was more concerned with my protection, with my safety, than he was with my immediate enjoyment. And so I climbed up on that thing and I started unscrewing this stuff and I wasn't being very safe. And suddenly I slip off of this old metal thing and I fall. And when I start falling, I try to catch myself on these two metal bars. But when I put my hand on one of the bars and I start slipping down, I didn't realize there was a screw sticking out, like out the side of the bar, and I grab it with my thumb and that screw just goes right up through my thumb and cuts right through the middle of it. And I've got a huge scar on my thumb now. It's massive. but it just cuts straight up through the middle of my thumb. And so I go running inside. There's blood going everywhere. I start washing it off in the sink. And I keep telling myself, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. It's not a big deal. It's going to be fine. And what I didn't realize was I'm losing blood. You know, my hand is ripped open. It's a big deal. And I'm thinking, I keep trying to like cover it up. I keep washing it out. I keep like thinking if I just put another Band-Aid on it, it's going to fix the issue. And I was so afraid in that moment of telling my dad. I was so afraid of how he was going to react because I knew that I had gone out there and I had done the very thing he told me not to do. And then I was like paying the price for it, you know, like I couldn't hide it any longer. And my dad happens to walk by the bathroom and he looks in and he sees that I'm trying to wash my own thumb out. You know, I'm trying to wash out this wound. I'm trying to cover it up. And I remember that day, like after that moment, I didn't hear one, I told you so. My dad did not get mad. He didn't yell at me. The only thing I remember is that in that moment, he looked at his son and he thought, my son is hurt and I need to help him. See, my little world wasn't falling apart in that moment because of my dad. It was falling apart because I had chosen not to listen to my dad. And yet when I came back to him, I experienced love and grace and even forgiveness. If you're listening to my voice right now and you feel like your life is falling apart, or at least part of it is, and maybe you've been wondering, if I try to turn to God right now, is he going to be mad at me? Is he going to say, I told you so? You need to understand that God, when he's looking at you, he's thinking the same thing my dad was thinking that day. My child is hurting and I can help them. I want you to be honest with me today. I want you to ask yourself, be honest with yourself, ask yourself this question. If I don't hear God's voice, or if I don't have a personal friendship with him, if I'm not experiencing his love and his grace and even his conviction in my heart and my life, ask yourself this question. Do I really know him? Have I really accepted his love and his grace? Have I really believed that Jesus paid the price for all of my sin when he died on the cross? And maybe you're listening to me and you know for a fact that you have accepted Christ, and yet your life is still falling apart. If that's the case, then God may be testing you the way that he tested the Israelites when they were walking through the desert. And he might be using this circumstance to mold you into an image of his son Jesus, the way that he did Paul in the New Testament. So if you know that's the case, then I want you to go watch another video of mine that deals with this issue. And it's actually called 3 Reasons Why You're in a Wilderness Right Now. Go check it out. But if you're listening to me and you know the answer is no. No, I don't think I have a real relationship with God. No, I don't think I've ever truly let Jesus into my heart. Don't put it off. You can begin to have a real relationship with God right now. You can experience his love, his grace, and even his fellowship through the Holy Spirit right now. I'm asking you to let God into your heart today so that he can begin to heal it. Pray with me and say, "Dear Jesus, I've lived my life my way long enough. I don't want to do things my way anymore. I need you to save me. Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God who came to the earth and lived a perfect life. And then you died on a cross and you accepted the punishment for my sin. And then on the third day, you rose again. And I believe right now that I get to experience life and life to the full by turning away from sin and by choosing to believe in you. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. Thank you, God, for beginning a relationship with me right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen."
You can connect with Troy Black on YouTube or Facebook. For more content from Troy Black, or to find out how you can support this ministry, visit troyblackvideos.com.